please click on
due to YouTube unforeseen
and see it and share it. Thank you very much.
Ami vetale vaso gawa gawani Rubina mi volta la chitarra maro ne canani Mosa mi atta le vaso te gorcia matwani Ata so dele mudar sala hola bande na to sharani Adi kite na stale na stale na stale na so rat sorona Moro loga guazli torito kona abite nastale 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 nato rat sorona ata chevo no solo pun nastele acha paya to sukuna Soglerata mi vaso il talete a corcia matuani Urbena mi candor talete o gaucho heroin Zaite gauche cere e guardale te no saen Azi non corre amato ne incitna da un fatti amotin Adigite nastale 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 nato rat sorona Moro loga guazli torito kona Abikite nastale 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 naton rat sorona Ata jevo no solo pun nastele acha paya to sukuna Chamoina tu vegre tu diso goi chagawani Zai ti festa da zata le gawa gawa Nove das ari di feshe na tale bombe che heroin Anse bicha mira me qui na zata le data te a dansare Uli so bit moja mira me qui na zata le data te a dansare Nastale nastale nato rat sorona Omoro loga guazli torito kona Abite nastale 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 nato rat sorona Ata jevo no solo pun nastele acha paya to sukuna Ata jevo no solo pun nastele acha paya to sukuna
नमस्कार स्वागतम तुमका सगळ्याच्या सुशेगा दनपार प्रोग्राम वर मजा सांगत असा मुजो बारी
पोर्नोइस्ट
पोर्नो पोर्नो कसो तू एकदम नो नो दिसतय मका पोर्नो मळे काले
पोर्नो मळे नोटा वरिन ओल्ड ओल्डिस्ट
ओके दॅट इज रिची अँड वी हॅव गॉट अ व्हेरी यंग लॉयर हियर बेनझीर So, Benazir, I would not like to introduce you, but I would like you to introduce yourself to our listeners. Tell them all about yourself, your company, what you do, what you can offer, and all those kind of things.
Hello, Baptist, and thank you for inviting me onto your lovely show. That was a nice introduction. I'm Benazir, and I'm one of the partners at Bespoke Legal. I run the firm with my sister Jennifer Dunn, and we're a boutique firm at located down in Mount Ross School. So I don't know, it's quite flattering to hear that I'm a young lawyer.
No, for, as long as you're concerned in front of us, you're a young lawyer.
Oh, all right, God.
relative to Baptist.
Yeah, relative to me. Relative to me.
But yeah, no, I've got about at least 10 years of experience with me as a lawyer. So I'm well experienced for those listeners who are thinking, oh no, not a junior. But, you know, we'll experience well enough to come in if you do come in to
Definitely.
Help you.
And what do you do at your firm? What are the kinds of...
Yeah, so we're a general practice law firm, so we usually practice around your everyday problems, which could be employment, immigration side of things, criminal, family, buying and selling property, business, doing wills and trust. So, you know, all kinds.
Whole plethora of things.
Yeah.
Whatever people get into trouble with, you are there to help them.
Exactly.
Fantastic.
So, one-stop shop.
One-stop shop.
So, Benazir, the name of your firm, Bespoke, I was trying to figure out, you know, how does it fit in the context of a legal name, you know. Mm-hmm. Can you just give an explanation or try to tell us why you picked that name up?
Well, we are a general practice firm, like I already said. It's a one-stop shop, so Bespoke Legal on its own, you know, tailor-made, the word on its own explains it, so it's... It's there to specifically cater to your legal
So you're
needs.
Not you're not just generally a shop, but you sort of adjust your practice according to the needs of the people as they come along.
Yeah.
So, Baptist, whatever trouble that you get into, you
I know where to go.
Where to go?
She's my friend, so I know.
Yeah.
Where to look.
So, Benazir, where do you originally come from? Which part of the world do you come from?
Right, I'm from a small island in the South Pacific known as Fiji Islands, also known as the Paradise Islands.
So yep.
If you feel like having a nice, relaxed holiday after COVID's over, go on there. It's really
pretty.
It's
not in the bubble, is it?
You know, it's not in the bubble as of now.
Not yet. Hopefully it will be.
they are saying in May they're going to open up the island, so probably Fiji would be one of them, but I don't know.
Yeah.
They were talking about Samoa and Rarotonga.
There was Cook Islands.
Yeah, Cook Island.
So, basically.
So do you go back before the COVID? Did you go back regularly?
Yes, finally you asked, because I was there in February, and as soon as I returned, a week later we went into lockdown. So I was glad to have a holiday before our lockdown.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But I think I'm ready for another one.
We all are ready.
Especially in this weather.
In this weather, in this being only stuck in a place, I think, yes, we are all ready to go.
Yeah.
So at this firm, you would be getting a lot of clients with a variety of challenges that they face on day-to-day areas of work. What's the most common stuff that you get? Is it relating to offences? Is it relating to family matters?
Mm-hmm.
What is it related to? What are the most of the common things that you handle?
At the moment, we've been going through a huge influx of work from property side of things, given the property market's gone crazy, as well as family. So family is something that we've seen an increase in as well, I think slightly to do with COVID. But not all to do with COVID. So it's kind of coming in, and I think it's mainly sometimes we've got a few return clients who've bought property and now they're separating. So I think it's unfortunate, but...
So what are the things that you handle in property? I mean, when people are buying and when people are selling, what are the critical things that you would sort of advise people when they're buying or when they're selling?
Well, first things I tell my clients is before you even start buying, come in and see us. If you're thinking of buying it, go see a mortgage broker or your bank to see if you have enough money to buy the house. Then you go see a lawyer to see what you should be looking out for before you sign up on anything or, you know, bid at an auction. So if you do come see us, we usually go through what you should be looking out for, what are the terms and conditions, the generic terms and conditions in an agreement that we'll be bound by, and then what the procedure is, including like KiwiSaver. Some people want to have KiwiSaver and super, what's the other one called? Sorry, it's lost. But yeah, we do go through the process with you. And things like refinancing as well. If you're a second home buyer and you've got your first home, you may need to refinance to get that extra money. So all of those things we go through with you, and we stay with you till the transaction's finished.
So what are the major mistakes that people do in the documentation? What, from your experience, there would be definitely some of the big howlers that come around. So what are the major mistakes that people do?
One of the biggest ones is where they don't tell us what they've negotiated with the agent or the vendor. Right. And then they go ahead and sign it, but there's nothing on the agreement. And then when settlement comes, there's a big dispute, and I can't really do much because I wasn't disclosed. There was no communication whatsoever through the lawyers. I usually say, hey, look, if you are discussing and negotiating anything with the agent or the vendor, please let us know so we can put it through in writing.
Can you give us some examples of what are these howlers like? Is it the settlement date? Is it the conditions? What is it?
Normally it's to do, one example that comes on top of my head is what will be given on settlement day. So like a dishwasher, or they're under the assumption they'll get a big painting on the wall, something along that line. Sometimes they're under the impression that the carpets and things will be professionally cleaned up to a certain standard, but when they go in, it's just only been cleaned but not professionally been cleaned. Those are some of the examples that usually we come up with, they run into. Sorry, I can't think of exactly other common ones, but those are the main ones, especially with flower pots and stuff as well, where they think they're getting a whole bunch of flowers, and it gets taken away.
They must be thinking that, okay, this is an ideal house where this is just a show home kind of situation where people come in and they think, oh, I'm going to get exact the same, but everything is on higher and that goes away. So you don't get with the house.
So tell me, Benazir, when the houses are put on sale and then there's a show home day, I've gone to a couple of them. There's not too much of disclosure at that particular point of time by the vendors. How do you get that disclosure from them?
Disclosure in regard to what they get?
Well, you know, they put up all this show, clean carpets. Chattels.
Furniture
is laid down pretty well.
Yeah.
And
bed sheets and covers and your pillow covers.
Even the gardens are well laid out.
Yeah.
So, and when you talk to the vendors, they don't actually disclose it in their documents. You can't find them. Where does one find all this, that this doesn't go onto the property?
It's under Schedule 2 of the Sale and Purchase Agreement. Mm-hmm. If you look in there, there's a whole list of chattels. There's generic ones in there that you'll be getting. And sometimes these things are crossed out or edited to say what you will be getting. So that's the first place I usually point out to my clients to say, hey, look, this is all the things that has been agreed on that you will be getting. So before you sign this agreement, if you have agreed on anything else or if it's within the property and you think you're going to get it, have it in here or discuss it with the vendor and put it in here before you even sign the agreement. That way everybody is on the same page. Yeah, so there's no mistakes about
it. Or is it a general understanding among the selling vendors that, hey, you only get the four walls, no paintings, just the carpet, and, you know, no pots in the garden?
Sometimes it is. This is what I mean. You have to go see a lawyer before you sign a document, because we've had situations where they've had garage remotes and there's only one. Mm-hmm. And we've had alarm codes where people didn't know
the alarm codes.
But they've written that they will get the alarm. Mm-hmm. So they can be quite tricky and technical sometimes with what they are giving you. Mm-hmm. So I usually tell the clients, be very, very careful and make sure you discuss these things before you get it.
So that's what you see. What about the legal side of it? You know, there are certain houses where there are modifications made, fireplaces are there, fireplaces are not there, and they promise that these fireplaces have been put in with the consent of the council. Now, they say, hey, you can go and get the property back.
Mm-hmm.
But most people who buy and who are in such a tearing hurry to buy, they don't have the time to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how does your firm sort of help people to get all that information, piece it together and put it before their clients?
Okay. There's a condition called a limb condition within the agreement.
Mm-hmm.
And usually you get the option of ticking it yes or no. And this is where again, I'll go back to clients coming back to us, and we go through the agreement, each condition that is on there. We go through the consents that concerns they may be having about this property and how that could be turned into a condition so they can satisfy it before they go unconditional. Mm-hmm. So LIM is one of these things that you've got to look through. It's normally ordered from the Auckland City Council or any of the other regional councils, and they provide you all the information they have about this property, including code of compliance, code of acceptance, or whatever certificate is required for any additions in the property. So if they go to a house and they see all of these things and it's not matching the description that is provided in the LIM, that on its own would be showing that there may be something illegal in there and hasn't been disclosed.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So land per se on which the property sits, mm-hmm, is always a big question mark, because you can't know what's the nature of the land, what's, mm-hmm, the status of the land. Now, is this something which you help your client to understand? Because lands could be freeholds, mm-hmm, could be
cross lease,
yeah,
could be, you know,
leasehold,
yeah, or it could be owned by EV. Mm-hmm. In all these cases, how do you help your clients to understand the different natures of these lands?
Okay, so in the sale and purchase agreement on page one, they will give you a description of the land. Mm-hmm. So they'll give you a title description. If it's a freehold, mm-hmm, or if it's a unit title or whatever it is, they'll circle it for you. If it's an auction agreement, they usually provide the title with you. Part of the auction agreement. But we normally do a title search. So we do have access to a software called LINS, Land Online, mm-hmm, and that's where we go in to search the title, and if there are any issues with it, we do further searches and advise our client. If there's something that needs to be removed or will be an issue long term for our clients, then we advise them of that as well and make sure they make that informed decision before they even buy the house.
So in a place like Christchurch, mm-hmm, where liquefaction became a big issue, mm-hmm, with lots of properties, what's the sort of role that a lawyer plays to identify and tell them, hey, this property or this land is not a suitable piece of land on which the property is sitting, that, mm-hmm, in the events that could take place, you may be at a bigger loss? How do you sort of safeguard your clients from such sort of situations?
Well, there is a procedure to go through, and buyer be aware is another thing that our clients should be aware of. So, and that they would, in general sense, most of the clients know the area they're looking at and the risk that is. Some clients love to be near the sea, but they have to be aware of the sea salt breeze. Mm-hmm. Erodes, mm-hmm, and the glass and all that side of things, and they're usually aware that there might be a bit more cost to, mm-hmm, maintaining the,
yes,
property.
Yes.
That's the same, I would say, with the Christchurch side of things. A lot of those buyers who are getting in, they'll be aware of it.
Yeah.
But there would be further searches that will be carried out along, mm-hmm, with it. So, mm-hmm, again, liaising with the Auckland City Council or the other earthquake information that's available about that land, what zone it's in, things like that, including, mm-hmm, insurance, and the bank will play a huge part in it as well, mm-hmm, and the type of insurance they can obtain. So all of these, it's a huge due diligence, and we deal with it on a case-by-case basis.
So Baptist, when you purchased your house,
mm-hmm,
okay, how much of this you did?
I first went to the lawyer.
Okay.
And she did everything for me.
Okay.
She checked everything. She said, see the LIM report. Get us the LIM report. We got the LIM report. She saw the LIM report. Mm-hmm. And after everything, then only we
fell in place.
Fell in place. Then we went into, mm-hmm, okay, buying of the property.
So you were a very cautious buyer.
I would not say I was a cautious buyer. My wife was involved in buying, uh-huh, so she is more cautious than me.
Okay.
And she was working with a financial...
You want to be on the right side of your wife today.
Yes, I should get my dinner tonight, so that's the whole idea. Yeah, and she was a financial planner, so she did everything for me. And I was sitting on the sideline and just watching it happening.
Okay. So on that note, Benazir and Baptist, let's, yeah, listen to some news.
So second dumper I copyang, mozo my moga cho yokar. Hantun cho east, Frankie Fernandez, Melbourne, Australia, son tumka yo, goin cho batmyo pawita. As abrilachi da tari, coronavirus hacho cases anik part goyat, vadonk lagliat. Moron gelnyacho akdo bi vadot asa, sumar 800 miles, लोक ह्या पेंडेमिकान सापडून गोंयांत मेलात आनी 600 मायज सद्या कोवीड पॉझिटिव्ह सापडून हॉस्पिटलांत ट्रिटमेंट घेतात. सरकारी हॉस्पिटलांत बेडाची शॉर्टेज आणि गोयच्या सरकारान फातोड्डा स्टेडियम आणि बांबोलीचो श्याम प्रसाद मुखर्जी स्टेडियम हांगा बी लोकांक ट्रीटमेंट घेवपाची वेवस्था केल्यात. मुखेलमंत्री प्रमोद सावंत हाणें गोंयांतभर लॉकडावन करपाचे अजून पर्यंत थारावना, पूण गोंयकारांक उलो मारला की जाता तितले बेगीन कोरोना व्हायरसाचे वॅक्सीन घेवचे म्हूण आनी फेस मास्क आनी सोशल डिस्टन्सींग पाळो करचो म्हूण. जे कोण फेस मास्क ओ सोशल डिस्टन्सींग हाचो पाळो करनात तांकां कायद्या प्रमाणे फायन पडटली अशें मुखेलमंत्र्यान सांगलां. दुसरी खबर म्हणल्यार गोंयांत मुन्सिपालिटीचे इलिसांवाचो दुसरो भाग सुरू जाला. अब्दुलाचे 23 तारखेर मुरमुगांव, मडगांवां, म्हापसा, केपें आनी सांगे मुन्सिपालिटीचे इलिसांव जातली आनी अब्दुलाचे 26 तारखेर काउंटींग आसतले. मडगांवां हांगा काँग्रेस आनी गोवा फॉरवर्ड पार्टी एकठांव जावन बीजेपीन तेको दिल्ले उमेदवारांक हारोवपाक फुडें सरल्यात. मुरमुगांव हांगा काँग्रेस पार्टी आनी बीजेपी पार्टीन तेको दिल्ल्या उमेदवारांक हे मुन्सिपालिटीचे इलिसांव झगडटात. कोरोना व्हायरस हे पॅन्डेमिकाक लागून जायते जाण त्रासांत सांपडले, चड करून आमचे तारवोटी भाव भयण्यो जे गेले 13 महिन्यांत बोटींचेर व क्रूज लायनाचेर काम ना जावन गोंयांत बेकार आसलेले, पूण आतां रॉयल कॅरिबियन हे क्रूज कंपनीन हे तारवोट्यांक कामाक परत आपयल्यात. रॉयल कॅरिबियन जी अमेरिकासून क्रूज करताली ती आतां लंडनसून क्रूज चालू करपाक येवजिलां. आमचो एकलो भाव जो फर्नांडीस युके साउथॅम्प्टनसून आमकां हाची आनी म्हायती दिता.
ह्या पॅन्डेमीक आमचे जायते तारवटी गोंयकार भाव तशेंच भयणीक क्रूज कंपनी बंद जावंक आतां बेकार जाले, पूण आतां थोडे दीस जाले आनी आमचे कंपनी रॉयल कॅरिबियनान आमकां कोडीत केलां जुलय म्हयन्याक क्रुजींग कॉमर्स जावपाची आसा म्हूण. म्हाका तशेंच आनी जायते गोंयकारांक सर्वीस कॉमर्स करपाची कॉन्ट्रॅक्ट मेवली, ही बरी खबर आमकां जायते तारवट्यांक आनी चड खुशेची येतली. हांव सद्याक बोटीर पावलां आनी सद्याक 12-13 भुरगे गोंयचे भुरगे हिंगा आसा. आमकां कंपलसरी 14 दीस क्वारंटाईन करून मागीर आतां आमी काम सुरू केलां. आमचे कंपनी आतां वॅक्सिनेशन पासून करपाची तयारी केल्या कित्याक सगळे आमकां तशेंच क्रूज येवपाचे गेस्ट लोकांक सेफ्टी आनी भलायकी लागून प्रिकॉशन घेतात. आमी सद्याक 5 बोटीचे आयटनरी छापला आनी बुकींग कॉमर्स जालां.
देव बरें करूं बाब जो फर्नांडीस ही आमकां म्हायती दिवपाक. खऱ्यानूच ही एक खुशाल खबर आमचे तारवटी भाव भयण्यांक जे गेल्ले 13 महिन्यांत बेकार आसलेले आनी आतां परत क्रूज लायनाचे काम करतले. आनी आतां खबर मिठाची. गोंयचे मीठ गोंयकारांक जेवणांत चड गरजेचे आनी मीठ काडपाची वेवसाय गोंयांत कांय शेकडे मायज चालू आसा, पूण गेल्ल्या कांय वर्सांत सकाळ सकाळ हे मीठ काडपाचो धंदो काबार जायत आसा. हे वेळार डॉक्टर रायना सिक्वेरा गोंयचे मीठ आनी मिठाचो धंदो करतल्यांचो ह्या विशयार गोवा युनिवर्सिटीसून अभ्यास केला आनी आमकां हाची आनी म्हायती दिता.
मीठ आनी मिठकारा आमच्या जिवितांत मुखेल जागो दिवपाची गरज आसा. गोंयच्या मिठाचो उद्योग एक बरोच जुनो उद्योग. पयले गोंयचे 20 गांवांनी मीठ काडटाले, आतां फक्त 11 गांवांनी मीठ काडटा. आदी गोंयचे मीठ आख्ख्या संवसाराक एक्सपोर्ट जाताले, देखी आफ्रिका, अरेबिया आनी हेर देशांनी. म्हजो PhD अभ्यास गोंयचे मीठ आनी मिठकारांचेर जालो. ह्या अभ्यासा खातीर 3 गांव हांवें सोदून काडलेले. एक आगरवाडो पेडणे, दुसरो आरपोरा बार्देसान आनी तिसरो बाटये तिसवाडी. आख्ख्या भारतांत सकयले जातीचे शेड्यूल कास्ट लोक मीठ काडटा, पूण गोंयांत मात 5 जातीचे लोक मीठ काडटा आनी हेका जायती इतिहासीक कारणां आसात. हे 5 जाती म्हणल्यार मीठ गावडे, आग्री, भंडारी आनी आगे. मीठ काडपाचे गांवचे आंकडे देंवत आसात.
देव बरें करून डॉक्टर रायना सिक्वेरा, खऱ्यानूच गोंयच्या सरकारान जाता तितले बेगीन हे तुजे उपदेश कानार घेवचे म्हूण आमची मागणी. तर आयकोप्यानो ह्यो जावन आसली आमच्या सुशेगाद दनपार गोंयच्यो खबरो. मेळुया दुसऱ्या सोमारात, ते मेरेन मोग आसून दी.
आगो बाई तू कोणाचे, कोणाचे कोणाचे गो तू चेडू कोणाचे तू चेडू कोणाचे गो तू चेडू कोणाचे तू कोणा आवई बापायचे तू खंच्या पुणे वोंतांचे तू खंच्या गावांचे तू कसल्या नावांचे तुंगो तुंगो खंच्या भाषेचे तू चेडू कोणाचे गो तू चेडू कोणाचे तू चेडू कोणाचे गो तू चेडू कोणाचे तू कोणा आवई बापायचे तू खंच्या पुणे वोंतांचे तू खंच्या गावांचे तू कसल्या नावांचे तुंगो तुंगो खंच्या भाषेचे जीवाचे हाल देखता असताना अंग तुझी साल साथात या जीवाचे हाल रुख जातो लो पाव जागो तू आल वाली बरी रुखा तू रे वोड घाल रुख जातो लो पाव जागो तू आल वाली बरी रुखा तू रे वोड घाल आणि थांबय गो आणि थांबय गो आणि थांबय गो काळ सांगले वादाळ तू चेडू कोणाचे गो तू चेडू कोणाचे तू चेडू कोणाचे गो तू चेडू कोणाचे तू कोणा आवई बापायचे तू खंच्या पुणे वोंतांचे तू खंच्या गावांचे तू कसल्या नावांचे तुंगो तुंगो खंच्या भाषेचे
तुम्ही ऐकता सुशगा दनपार कोंकणी रेडिओ प्रोग्राम 104.6 प्लॅनेट एफ एम अवेल मुझे सांगात आज असा मुझो ईस्ट बॅप्टिस्ट लोबो आणि बेनझीर डिन फ्रॉम बी स्पोक लीगल सो बेनझीर बिफोर वी ब्रोक ऑफ वी वर स्पीकिंग अबाउट लँड बाईंग प्रॉपर्टी कन्व्हेयन्सिंग अँड वॉट आर द पिटफॉल्स दॅट नॉर्मली पीपल नीड टू लुक ॲट बिफोर दे ॲक्च्युली गो अँड बाय देअर प्रॉपर्टी So what the key thing that you left on that was speak to a lawyer before you make any commitments.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So let's move on and let's talk about the other part of your firm, which handles very regularly, is all to do with traffic offenses. Okay.
Yeah.
And when I say traffic offenses, it's not about parking tickets or but it's speeding tickets,
uh-huh.
loss of demerit points. And especially when Baptist, you have a tipple or two and you drive and you land in further trouble.
That's right.
That's right, isn't it? So this session is for all the youngsters and for all those who have a bit of an adrenal
rush
driving.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us what the law is about these matters.
Yes. Unfortunately, this area is quite popular among the youth clients that we have coming in. So it's normally to do with if within a two-year period, if you end up accumulating 100 points or more, you end up losing your license. So that means you can't drive. And that's normally for about 3 months. To accumulate demerit points, it's usually to do with speeding. So if you've been caught speeding, it could also include things like breaching your license conditions. So if you're on a learner license and you've been driving unsupervised or you're on a restricted license and you're carrying an unauthorized passenger, these all will examples of where you can lose your accumulate.
How does it work? Points. Do you get a notice? So once the moment you mm-hmm. reach that 100 points, do you get a notice from the government?
Yep. So Land Transport would send you a letter to say you've accumulated 100 more than 100 points, demerit points, and you're going to be losing your license, or sometimes can be served to you as well.
Okay. Yeah. So when you lose your license, what happens? What are the consequences? You can't drive.
You can't drive. So the alternative to not being able to drive is not being able to go to work, or if you're going to school, university,
college.
You can't drive. Then it can be quite inconvenient to do that. There is a way around it where you can apply for limited license.
Okay.
So if you are in that situation, it's good to go see a lawyer to see if you qualify for limited license, because there are conditions around it. Now, if you do manage to get your limited license, it doesn't mean you can drive nilly-willy. There's a reason it's limited. So that means you'll be authorized to drive in a certain point of time and day. So it could be in the mornings driving to work, and then you'll have a certain time to drive back home, and what route you're going to take. And after that, you can't drive. So you can't just drive down to the shop or anything like that to get yourself.
So it is very restrictive, basically.
So which means if you lose your license, then you need to work around how to get it back. So do you get that license back? After what point of time?
Yeah, after your stand down time, which is normally about 3 months. There's two ways you can lose your license. Yeah. One is through accumulation of demerit points, and the other one is usually related to drink driving.
Oh, okay.
So...
okay, tell us the law first on drink driving. Yeah. How many pints of beer... or how many pegs? What is that?
So there is a limit when you blow into, you know, you've asked them to blow into the little...
contraption.
And I can't remember.
It's a breathalyzer.
There you go. Breathalyzer, that's the word. So they do, there's a certain point that you have to blow up to where you're safe, and if you're above that, then you will be taken in. And if it's too high, normally they usually can ask you to do a blood test as well, and all of these will be used against you. And you do, once you have blown high enough, you are at the risk of losing your license and disqualification of 6 months minimum.
But tell me, can I refuse to do a breathalyzer test? Suppose I am caught at a particular point, and they put up this fancy mic in front of you. Hi, mate, where are you going? And you talk. Can I refuse to speak on it?
I don't think so.
No, you cannot.
You cannot.
There are rules around that. Yeah. If you do refuse that, I mean, there would be...
They'll pull you off the line.
They will pull you aside. And then there's a blood test that you'll have to go through as well. And if you refuse that, you will get the option to see a lawyer and things like that. But there's a whole procedure to that as well. But the bottom line is, if you don't drink and drive, is the bottom line. And if you are drinking and driving, and if you do get caught, I mean, the minimum is that you will be losing your license for 6 months.
Now I'm going to ask you some of the questions which you wouldn't like to answer, but they'll be giving out some secrets. What's the way to sort of, if you're caught, what are the normal defense points that come out in this situation?
Well, normally, if you've got a blood test done and you've done the breathalyzer as well, the bloods won't lie. So it's very hard to come across I'm not saying there can never be a defense, but sometimes some people, there have been cases where people have been on medication or they've been working and they've absorbed some sort of chemical or whatever they've been working with that had caused them to blow a higher level than normal. So there are certain circumstances around there, but it is a bit of a high threshold to meet.
Very difficult to get out of it.
I mean, the blood test is the hard one to get out of, unless you really have a legitimate reason and you can prove why you were.
What about speeding? Now, some of these cameras are not calibrated on a regular basis. A lot of people have challenged in the court, saying that, hey, I've been caught on this camera, and hey, the camera actually was not serviced for the last 2 years. How do you know that this is fine? Speeding is something which people are always caught on. How do you challenge that? Not only they send you a photograph, they send you a lot of things, but still they don't sort of consider waving it aside. How do you challenge that? There are two things. One is speeding, which I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Some of the cameras, they are not so efficient enough because they may have not been serviced. Sometimes it's just a kilometer above the limit. Sometimes there are two cars in the frame. So if there are two cars in the frame, the other car doesn't get a speeding ticket. You may get your speeding ticket because your rego number is registered. The other car's rego number is not registered.
Mm-hmm.
So all these issues are there. How do you get out of it?
For the actual speeding ticket.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that needs to be looked into, and it's on a case-by-case basis, and depending on what it is, you have to liaise with it. So sometimes one of the things would be, one of the cases that I've done is where there was no speed sign.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're driving along a back area and things, if there's no speed sign, that can be challenged. Mm-hmm. And normally it is a point that there are rules around where the speed signs should be, especially when you're entering into a back road or somewhere, and especially in the countryside.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no speed signs, and mm-hmm. that can be challenged.
Right.
That's one of the ones that's one of the defences that's on top of my head that you can come up with. But again, police do catch on to these things. It's not something that they'll just leave it open for the public to challenge every time they do get a speeding ticket.
So in these traffic offences, one of the most difficult ones is fatal accidents.
Mm-hmm.
In these fatal accidents, either people lose their lives. Your client may not lose the life, or where you are on the defence side of it. What are the key issues that people need to understand in the case of fatal accidents, and what they need to brief their lawyers on? So if there is a fatal accident, I am involved in a fatal accident where somebody has died, I am the driver at the wheel,
mm-hmm.
what are the things that I need to be aware of, and what do I need to do in such situations, and how do I brief my lawyer on this?
Okay, first things first would be, if you do get in one of those, call the police and the ambulance so they do come over and assist would be the first thing. Don't run away.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the first thing, yeah.
Yeah, you can't run away.
It could be against you.
Against you.
Always, make sure you're there to help out and things. And if it's sometimes there could be defences to that. It could be a dark. I mean, there could be reasonings to it. Most of the times, if it's dark, it'd be that you can take into consideration the weather.
Mm.
What the weather? I mean, today's weather's quite dull.
Yeah.
And it's not good weather, good driving condition. So if it's at night time, you got to look at the condition. You got to look at if it was a person crossing, or whether it was a little bit alert, or what happened. Speed would be another factor that you've got to look into. So there's a whole bunch of things that needs to be looked into, and your lawyer will go through all of these things with you. But before that, there would be investigations and things that will be taken by the forensic people as well as the police, and they have their own case, and then they will build a case that will be passed on to your lawyer.
So what they can do is, once they meet with this accident, stay there, get the police, get the ambulance. If police wants a statement, can they say, I'm not going to say anything, I'm going to talk to my lawyer? Can you say that?
You can.
Yeah.
You can. Okay.
You can. Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean,
that's basically,
when there is a fatal accident, people are normally sort of
shocked, tensed.
And they lose a lot of
control
of themselves. Yeah. They don't have the full facts.
Mm-hmm.
So basically what I'm trying to say is that keep cool.
Keep cool.
It has happened. You are involved in it.
Yes. Uh-huh.
So gather as many facts so that it becomes mm-hmm. much easier for your defense lawyer
mm-hmm.
to put up a case to reduce or mitigate the type of damage that you may incur in terms of penalties.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. But the most important thing is that if you are one of the persons who is affected, that means you
got
injured or you get hit, what are the challenges that you have seen in your type of situation of handling such cases? What are the challenges that you have seen?
Well, and it will be taken on by the police. So if it's a police matter, the police will deal with it with the victim, and there will be right support and everything provided. So we don't deal with that side. No, we only do the defence side. So it's always the prosecutor will be the police.
Right.
And then the defense will be us. So unless in the prosecuting team, which would be the legal team for the police, the Ministry of Justice side of things, then they usually do it, and then you've got the defense. Department of Public Defense.
Fantastic.
So one of the things which we spoke at the time of our break is, you know, in the event of all these fatal accidents, there is something called an enduring power of attorney.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about it. Many a times we don't have it. Nobody has signed it. Could you talk to us about this whole aspect of enduring power of attorney?
Yeah. So it is very, very important, and I emphasize this quite a lot, but sometimes I do get brushed aside and they don't think it's relevant, because let's be honest, nobody wants to think of themselves as an estate where they can't make a decision and they're about to pass away, or, you know, any of that side of things. So enduring power of attorney is very important. It's to do with when you can't make a decision on for yourself. So it's authorizing somebody else to step into your shoes and start making those decisions for you. And it normally is quite common, especially if you are very ill, along with older people who suffer from Alzheimer's or dementia, or they have some sort of have mental incapacity to start continue making those decisions. So if you've got a grandma or you're a mum yourself and you're heading towards that, well, you know who is, it's better to have it done before they completely lose that state of mind.
Mm-hmm.
That's the same with accidents and things like that, and when there's an emergency and normally families are called, the first thing the doctors will ask is who holds the enduring power of attorney and who's going to call the shots of this person's life. So it's very important to have that. And there's two types of enduring power of attorney.
Go for it.
Yeah. One is to do with the property side of things, and one is to do with health, and one is to do with the property and financial side of things.
So financially and financial and health, that's what I was thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
You're on the
as an accountant, you're always thinking about the property.
Financial part of it. Yeah. On that note, can we have a song there, please?
Surely, Baptist, surely. All yours.
सगळ्याचे तोंडे नाच आताचे काजारी अंगवार सगळ्याच सांगवार पाडे स्वतःचे वाचतोच काय बरी हावताच सगळ्याची बेणा कावचो जेवचो उगडास कोणाक येना सोंग नको तांची काळी तोणा पूण बेणवाल्यांक मातूय सुशोती ना कसल्यो रे कोडी सोडटात ओडी नाच जायना बंद अरे कसलेच चडे तांडात वडे आबोट करून तोंड मतारी पासून नाचात अशी आलोन केन्नाच काळोख जाता तिये पालोन नाचाच्या पारन मोचे वेतात सोलोन मागीर बेश्टे पायांनी गारा चोलोन अरे नाचाच्या सालांत चिंगाम गालांत कितेचे राचो वास गावाचे लोड तोरी नाचात फोड वाय तू नाचात यास मुजगानी वास्तोत सगळ्याची लो फुलता चेडो खुंयसर चेडूय तुंयसर दोळटा
अरे कमोत कसली मडको शेती आवता.
Welcome back to Shushagat Dhanpar. You're listening to Shushagat Dhanpar on 104.6 Planet FM. Yes, as mentioned by Richard, we have got a young lawyer, and she doesn't think she's young, but I think she's young, Benazir Din. And we were just talking about enduring power of attorney. Richard, you've got something?
Yeah, it is good to dovetail the enduring power of attorney with the family part of the law,
yeah.
Family law as such. So Benazir, one of your specializations at Bespoke is family law, and you look after family matters. Now, it could be pretty wide ranging, but what are the major cases that you handle in your day-to-day activity relating to families?
Family, okay. So the generic ones that usually come through are protection orders, which is in relation to domestic violence.
Wow.
Separation of separation, where two parties are separating but they haven't headed towards divorce. Divorce is quite a common one as well that comes through. Children as
custody.
Well.
Custody
of the children, or there's a genuine threat of children being taken.
Mm-hmm.
Overseas or out of a region.
Mm-hmm.
So things like that are the common ones that usually walk through the door.
So domestic violence, separation,
mm-hmm.
divorce, children.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else, Baptist, you can think of and you want to shoot questions?
Same on those same lines, you can tell us what else comes into your mind, or what else is there other than these four?
Right.
Mostly of these.
Yeah, those are the main.
Those are the main
ones. Common ones. So, we do have the real ones like adoption and things
okay.
along that line that
yeah.
does fall under.
So it's a domestic
category.
Violence. It could have sort of zoomed up during COVID time. So
yeah.
did it sort of was under control?
There was a small spike in it.
Right.
But having said that, it is something that is ongoing issue within the nation that
mm-hmm.
is being addressed, well, trying to be addressed, and it's something that a lot of people should be more aware of and usually do take care of those around you, because it's not something that's commonly spoken about, because it's a very sensitive topic that people don't like.
What are the causes for this violence?
They're always social and... Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry. What are the causes, basically, for this violence? I suppose
is
alcohol.
Is it alcohol? What Baptist is saying?
Alcohol.
Is it alcohol infused, or is it some sort of animosity, or some sort of...
There's a lot of factors that sometimes play.
Yeah.
And that alcohol usually can be a common one. It could be an addiction sometimes. You know, the simple things like the favorite team lost. Sometimes
yep.
could be it.
Wow. As simple as that.
As simple mm-hmm. as that. Anger.
Mm-hmm.
Anger
yeah.
control, anger issues as well, yeah. and also to do with a person's background and how they've been raised and things like that.
So let me ask this mm-hmm. very stupid question.
There's no such thing as a stupid question.
Stupid question. What percentage of the victim are women and what percentage are men?
Funny you should ask that. As generically known, majority is females.
Yeah.
But having said that, a lot of males who are part of domestic violence don't want to come forward because it's not very manly.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that people laugh at.
So they don't want to man up.
Exactly. Well, that's a good time to man up, I'd say.
Exactly, that's a good time to man up.
Okay, so there are men who are impacted.
Yeah, but it just seems like within the male... side of things, you know, it's not very manly to go, my wife has been beating me up, or my wife or my partner has been abusing me. It's something that they'll just brush off because they're too embarrassed. I've had one or two male clients come in where I've asked them to lodge a protection order where they genuinely were part of an abusive relationship, and this is not where they were, you know, getting punched in the face or anything, but it was a lot of psychological harm where they were, you know, wives were saying things, doing things that was really affecting them.
Mm-hmm.
And I even offered them to go counselling because it was a sign of depression. You could see it was coming on, and they even admitted to it. And they did admit to go and needing some help.
Mm-hmm.
But these are the male clients that never really came back because mm-hmm. it wasn't something that want to go parade around and hurt their ego. So,
mental abuse is one of the causes also.
There's two ways. It's physical and psychological. It's the psychological one that's usually hidden, and it's the one that is the hardest one to really get the victim to understand that they are in an abusive relationship, because they're normally like, oh, it's okay. They only said it because they were upset. Oh, it's okay. I did do this. It was my fault. It's all right. All these things, there's always an excuse, and it's hard to break out of them. Eventually, sometimes if they are part of the psychological abuse, it becomes quite normal. And sometimes they go through with the process, and sometimes they're like, it's not worth it. I'll go back because it's normal and you don't understand my relationship with this person.
Right.
But that's not normal.
No.
And they need to see that. And this is where a lot of support comes into place, and just keeping an eye out for your family and friends, and, you know, see how the other person is behaving with them.
Mm-hmm. So the stats in New Zealand say that almost 60 to 70% of domestic violences are suppressed. They don't really get manifested. So how do you get your clients? Do they actually walk through the door, or do you have support agencies that come and say, can you pick up this case because this is what is happening? Because it becomes a bit of a stigma within a society that for a person to walk up to a lawyer and say, this is what is happening, but it always comes through
via
channels. So how much comes through channels and how much comes through the door?
To be honest, it's 50-50. It's a bit of both. So I do get a lot of referrals where I'm not allowed to go. Everything I do get is confidential. But sometimes I do get those who have come through and I've been told, don't tell my friend who is your client as well. There's no connection between the two of them. They're just simply friends, and I've acted for transaction, but one wouldn't want the other friend knowing about their personal issues. I mean, it's just the fact that they're so scared, knowing that it is confidential, they still feel the need to repeat that, please don't tell so-and-so. And I'm usually like, look, everything is confidential. I'm not going to say this. But the fear is genuine.
So how much of these domestic violences where there's a genuine relationship existing migrate to separation and then finally to divorce? Are these cases flowing from domestic violence?
No, not all of them. Sometimes they just grow apart and they're just not getting along. Not everything is related to domestic violence. It's normally to do with the protection order side of things. And that's separate to some cases who are just separating. They just don't get along anymore. They've grown apart. They don't have anything in common.
So that has got nothing to do with domestic violence?
No. That's separate. You can separate from your partner and not have violence.
Without the violence.
As a reason.
So how important it is that before you get a divorce that there should be a separation?
Yeah. So in New Zealand law, you have to be separated for 2 years before you can apply for a divorce.
And so what are the rights and liabilities and responsibilities in a divorce? If there is a progeny, like children, and if there is no progeny, what are the rights and responsibilities? Who bears the whole crux of this fallout?
It depends on the couples and how amicable the separation is. Sometimes they separate on really, really good terms. And it's very easy for us because everything has been sorted out. They decide on who's going to be looking after the kids for how long, and then they also decide on who's going to get what out of the house. They just need to formalize it. They come to us and we do all of that. And then you have others who fight over things like a lamp in the house. And who's going to get that? Right down to something really, really simple.
Simple.
What about pets?
Yeah, they have pets. Huge fights over. Yep, that's a very, very common one.
Yes.
And who's going to keep the dog? And sometimes they try to have a custody going for the dog. I'll have him in the weekends, and you can have them in during the weekdays. It does happen. It's just comes down to the couple and how far they want to go to fight it out.
So tell me, Benazir. In this, you sit through this whole process on either side of the defense or the prosecution or whatever it is. How much does it affect you?
On a personal level?
Yeah.
You do need to grow a thick skin.
Yeah.
it does sometimes get you. I won't say I'm human as well.
Yep, absolutely.
And there are things that really touch you, but you've just got to understand that you're here to help resolve the matters, mm-hmm. And just really, really grow thick skin to get through it.
Not personally get involved in it. You have to look at it from a professional angle rather than personal angle.
Yeah, and what is the best outcome for both parties.
So what's the dividing line in such situations? Do you play a counsellor or do you play, well, this is what you want, this is what I give you?
No, I don't do counselling. I'm not qualified to be a counsellor.
No, what I'm saying is...
counselling in terms of... Yeah,
you know, trying to patch it up rather than say, hey...
Well, at the end of the day, it comes down to what the client is wanting and whether it's feasible.
Yep.
So it was a wonderful chat that we had with you, Benazir. It was pretty nice. You gave us some very nice insights into conveyancing, into the traffic offences, and also, you know, very briefly touched upon family law. Would you like to leave your numbers, name,
contact details
for our listeners so that they can get in touch with you?
Yeah, sure. Sorry, I'll just go back to the camera thing that you talked about. I realize I didn't answer that. There are certain rules and restrictions that the speed cameras need to comply by.
Yeah.
So if you do get that, the police will need to show there was compliance.
Okay.
All right.
But other than that, you for those listeners who do need some legal help, they can call me on call or text me on 022-585-0097.
Okay. And do you have an email address where they can
get it? Yeah, sure. It could be info@bespoke, BESPOKE, legal.co.nz.
And your physical address in Mount Roskill, because most of our people live in Mount Roskill area.
Yeah.
So they can come to you.
It's on Carr Road, 45B Carr Road.
Fantastic.
Thank you, Baptist.
That was great.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Richard. Thank you very much, Benazir. It was lovely having you, as Richard said. And we look forward to many more such.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. It was lovely.
एक पाउटी एक मना
यूचा काई हरकत ना तेरा दी बोगारा उड़ मोजी मम्मी माँ का सोड़ी रहा
हो संगना का ये ताना पीका काई कड़ाना पीको काई स्मुणाना कैदना जाल्यारी वोना
I'm
not